Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? You feeling good this morning? You got prayers, and we're all praying together. We're all believing together for miracles, amen, and for good things with God, amen. And we're here fellowshipping together this morning. I'm always excited on a Sunday. Hallelujah. It comes together all week long, praying about a sermon, praying about songs, and we get here on a Sunday, and I just look out and see my friends, amen. What a beautiful sight. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and say the Lord's Prayer together, as we do each and every Sunday morning. Remember, we're talking to our Father in heaven, the giver of all good, the one that we call on in our greatest needs. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power in the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Be seated and relax. Take a deep breath. Enjoy. Hallelujah. We're going to responsive reading from Psalm 46. David wrote this psalm. Let's read together what David wrote for us. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea.
We won't fear, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells.
Hallelujah. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The Lord of Jacob is our
King. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth.
He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire.
Two words. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us. God Jacob is our
Lord. We talk about God every week in your life. We talk about God taking care of situations in your life. Amen. You start to look back and think of what God has done for you from the time you were a teenager to all the troubles you thought you got into that you couldn't get out of. He got you out of them. Amen. When you got married, you wanted a wife. You wanted a husband. You found the mate. You got married. You didn't know how you were, where you were going to live, how you were going to pay the rent. Amen. But you paid the rent. Amen. And you got bills that you thought something happened. You had bills. Lord, how am I going to pay these bills? But somehow the bills got paid. Amen. You wanted a car. God found you a car. Amen. God has taken care of all your needs to this point. Now you want to know who he is even more because he's got so much more for you. Amen. How many know that God has more for you than you've already taken? Just know he's got more. He's got more for you. Amen. But you got to know him. You got to know him. You got to talk to him. You got to see the gifts that he brings. You say, well, we love God because he gives us things. No, we love God because he loves us. Do you love your children? Do children love you because you give them things or because they love you? Amen. No matter what your child does, you always love them. Amen. So your child, now some of us might not have had moms and dads that were good mothers and fathers, earthly mothers and fathers. The Bible speaks of that. We understand that. But he's given us a new hope. He's given us Jesus. Amen. He said, I'll be your father. Jesus says, I'll be your brother. I'll be your mother. Amen. God says, call on me and I will fill the void in your life. That's why we do this. That's why church is fun. That fun. How many say church is fun? Have you told anybody lately, come to Second Congregational because it's fun? That's what I tell people. They look. Some people are going to look at you like, even people who believe God and good Christian people will say, how can church be fun? Well, I believe and I pray that our church should always remain fun, right? And we pray about things, and I was talking to David last week. He said, Larry, got to be careful. And I prayed about that all week. Said, be careful that God doesn't give you exactly, how many know that God doesn't give you exactly what you pray for? How many know that? But what he does is lead you on. Sometimes he'll take what you want as a carrot. You ever see that cartoon? There's a carrot, and you follow that carrot wherever God leads you. That's what I want. And all of a sudden, you get to the point where God hands you the carrot, and you look around at all the things that he's given you as you were walking with him, and you look at the carrot, and you say, I don't want this. This was just a tool that he used, amen? Now, he's not going to give you the parking place in front of the door every single time. David, the parking place might be across the street. Can you say, thank you, Lord, that I have a place to park across the street, amen? He might not give you the job that you think you wanted, but he has a job for you where the people you work with say, I don't know how we found you. Would that be better than the job you wanted, the position you wanted, or the money that you thought you needed? God says, I know your needs. God says, I know your needs before you ask. But if we just trust him with the good things in life, amen, and we see them, we walk closer to that God, amen? That's the God. That's what it's all about when we pray for these things, to let God know that we recognize the fact that we need who? Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. So when we have testimonies about what God has done, and I talk about a parking place, it's truly a miracle for us, a blessing for us. And we want to make sure, we want God to know that we make sure that we see the small blessings, because he pours out so much with us. With children who love us. We have children who right now are all working. They're all healthy. Man, I got so much to be thankful for. We all do, amen? We got friends and family that are coming together here as a family. I'm so thankful for that. And since we've been here in this church, we've met new friends and family. People we would have never met without God. Amen? That's the God. I know you got folks coming over your house, Miss Pat, that you didn't know a couple of years ago. They come over to your house and they dine with you and you laugh with you. And those are gifts from him. Those are people and brothers and sisters. And it's only beginning. But you need to see that all these things that are happening are only beginning. Each day is a new beginning. When I tell you when we're singing to praise him, it's your chance to begin again. To begin right now on Sunday morning praising him, because something's going to happen on Wednesday that's going to upset you. Somebody's going to ride on your bumper. Somebody's going to cut you off. Something's going to happen at work. Something's going to happen at school. And you're going to need that little bit of praise that you did on Sunday to come back to say, do Lord, do remember me. And you walk. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's your walk with God each and every week. Hallelujah. Give him praise and glory. Church. He inhabits the praise of his people. Joanne, the Bible says he inhabits our praise. That means he's sitting here. We ask the angels to swing around and encamp around our church. We can do that. Amen? We can do that for our protection. And we pray that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Are you with me this morning?
Yeah.
I love the Bible. I love reading the Bible. I had a whole idea for a sermon this morning. We're going to get into it in just a minute. And it makes me smile how God just shows me one thing, and then all of a sudden I'm learning things as we go along. I'm learning things and enjoying things, but I can't put the Bible down. I can't put the Bible down. I start to read and study, and I can't put it down because it shows me something else. And I said, I got to go back and look that up. And then I got on the computer. Now, the computer. People say sometimes the computer is a good thing and a bad thing. And everything was like that, amen? A car is a good thing and a bad thing, amen? If you're driving 100 miles an hour, it becomes a bad thing, amen? But the computer, I'll look up scripture, and I'll look up these, and I get all these websites, and I just can't stop learning, amen? And I think anybody, even a pastor, everybody especially, should learn more. And when you learn more, and it excites you, and it interests you, what do? You want to learn more. Hallelujah. This is the Bible I choose. We have one here. It's a Life's Application Bible, New King James Version. I don't care what version you like. I'm just saying make sure your Bible is the Bible. Make sure it's not written by somebody else's idea. You can read a different version. We have another fellow from another church, a friend of ours, who sings and ministers at another church. He's coming here. I forgot to tell you, but we need to order one. He's coming here because he wants to buy one of these Bibles that we talk about. We got some brothers and sisters in our church now who have one. He said to me, the fellow who has one says, Larry, I can't put it down. I said, I've known the Bible, I've tried to read the Bible, but now I have this Bible, I can't put it down. And see, that's God, amen? That's God leading you to learn more, hunger for more, amen? You should always, and when you think you know enough, that's when you're in trouble, amen? When you think you know enough, that's when you're in trouble. You want to hunger. hunger for more. And the other thing I want to say this morning before we get going here is you never know what your brothers and sisters are going through. Hallelujah. You never know the prayers that are answered in this church. We don't tell everybody everything in their problems. And you don't know that last week there was such a huge prayer answered. My wife and I prayed all week long for a certain prayer to be answered. And it was answered on Sunday. The brothers and sisters going through things, they were here on Sunday praising God when they thought the week before they weren't coming back to church for a while. And they came to church. And they came and they received. And that receiving changed their life again. Amen? Listen to what I'm saying. It changed their life. It changed their attitude. It gave them a focus again back to Him. Because when you stay home and you stay away from God, you rely on this. Amen? And where does that get you? Amen. Thank you. So you don't know what your brothers and sisters are going through. That's why we have the fellowship on Sunday, the coffee social, so you can talk to folks and learn who they are and become friends with them. And you never know who you can help. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray for others. In my Bible, in this Bible I have, has notes about the scriptures, has bios on all the people, learning who they are, how many children they had, what kind of a life they lived, what they did for a living, the occupation. Hallelujah. And has in Colossians, it has a section that says how to pray for other Christians. So this is what we're going to pray for this morning. Lord, we pray for others. We're thankful for their faith and their changed lives when they follow you. Lord, we ask God to help them know what He wants them to do. Lord, we ask that you show those people we're praying for the way. You lead them. You direct them, Lord. That's our prayer this morning for those in need. Lord, I ask God to give them deep spiritual understanding. So this morning, Lord, we just simply pray for the world to have a deeper spiritual understanding. Not a natural, but a spiritual understanding about you, Lord. And then, God, we ask you to help them, their lives for them. Help them live for them. Help them, Lord, to grow stronger with you. And then, God, we ask this, to give them more knowledge of you. Lord, we simply ask those who don't know you yet to learn more about you. Those who do claim to know you, who call themselves Christians, Lord, those beautiful brothers and sisters, we ask you for more knowledge, to pray for them to find more knowledge. And yes, Lord, we ask for strength to endure for ourselves and for the world. For the world, for the Christian world who's walking with you, we ask you to give them more strength to endure what they have to face. And then, Lord, we ask you this, to fill them with joy, strength, and thankfulness. Thankfulness, Lord. We ask you to fill them with joy. We ask you to fill them with thankfulness and for strength, Lord. That's how the Bible says we should pray for others. When we pray the prayer about you for others, that's the way we should go. Just cover that, Lord. Asking simply for more of you. Hallelujah. Right there in the Bible. Hallelujah. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That you will be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. We pray for others, Lord. We lift them up in their needs to you, and everything turns to you that they know more about you, that change their lives. In Jesus' name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. But I said to you this week I told my wife Monday what I was going to preach about Tuesday. We were talking, and I started to do a study. And God is so funny. God's like saying, you're going to, you, you, you just can't start there, Brother Larry. If you're going to do a study on this, you got to take them back a little further. Back a little further in Genesis. Hallelujah. So he started showing me, and I tell you, the more I studied, the more I wanted to study. The more I read, the more I wanted to read, because it was just so interesting, so understanding. So I just start with this. Without choice, we would be like prisoners. That would mean love and obedience, and everything would be meaningless. Amen? If you didn't have choices, then nothing really would matter, would it? If I said to you this morning that I supply all your needs, stay with me now, in this church, forget everything that you know, I'm telling you now, every one of your needs are met here now. Every one of them. Everyone in here. Every need is met. You have everything that you need. You have all you're ever going to need. You don't love me. You won't love me because you have all your needs met. Amen? Why would you love me? What would make you love me? What would make you even know about loving me if now you had all your needs met? Amen? So everybody's happy. But suppose Chuck went to the, and when we say, as long as you stayed in this church, as long as you stayed in this room, everything is yours. Everything. You have it all. But what if Chuck hears something at the door and hears a voice outside? Say, you can't go outside. That's the only thing you can't do. You can't go through those doors. Because if you go through those doors, you will surely die. And then Chuck hears a knock at the door, and he's somebody on the other side. Says, you ought to come outside. He says, surely you won't die. God said he's given you everything. And he comes back, and then he opens up the door and looks, and comes back in. And he tells Dave. And then Dave goes out there, and they open up the door, and they stand outside. And then the wind hits them. They don't know what the wind is. So they get afraid. Amen? Now they're afraid. And they come running back in and close the door and lock the door. And then I come out to see everybody. And I look and I say, what's wrong? And you say, we're afraid. And then I say, why are you afraid? Did you go outside? Did you see the world? Did you face something that I saved you from, that I kept you from? As long as you stayed in here, you were safe and had everything you wanted. But the one thing I told you could not do was step outside that door. That's the only thing I told you that you couldn't do. Yet you had to step outside that door because you were tempted by Satan. Amen. Somebody knocked at the door and Chuck's ears got, said, come on outside. It's beautiful out here. And you were tempted. And you did something against what God had told you to do. And then you went in outside and you felt a breeze in your face, and then you were afraid, and you came back in, and then you had to hide because you were afraid. And before that, before the second he walked outside, you knew no fear existed because you didn't know fear. Amen? This is the story of Adam and Eve. They had a perfect place. The only thing that they could do, could not do, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in that day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. But the devil tempted Eve, amen? They didn't know anything. They had a perfect life. They had everything there. They had no need to love God. They didn't know what love meant. They had everything. They didn't understand. That's what they had. So there was no need to put an emotion. They weren't afraid. They weren't worried. They weren't sick. They were perfect. Amen? And the devil tempted Eve. Chuck, I'm sorry I didn't make you mean Eve, but you know, I did a good. People's feelings get hurt in a stranger's way someday. Somebody said, how come you picked me to be Eve? Eve ate the fruit. Did anything happen? No. Why? Because God told who? Adam. So Adam ate of the fruit. He ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And right away they realized, as soon as they took and he ate the fruit, they realized what? That they were naked. They had no need to understand what naked meant before, amen? And then they were ashamed, and then they were, what's the word? They had to get clothes on because they had to go hide and put some clothes on. They were inhibited, embarrassed. They were embarrassed that they were naked. Dave went outside and felt the wind hit his face, and all of a sudden he didn't understand that. He came back in because now he was afraid. Before he went outside, he had no reason to be afraid because he didn't know what fear meant. Amen? But now God said to Eve and said to Adam, because you ate of that tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, you did something. You transferred control of your lives. Adam and Eve transferred control of their lives from who? To who? Themselves. And God said, because you did that, you now made yourself open to face pain and sorrow, sin and death. Because you took control of your own life away now, I can't give you everything that you had before, because now you've taken it upon yourself to be your own master. Amen? To be what? Free. Hallelujah. You catching on? He made them now, after they ate the fruit of the tree, they were now truly free. Amen? Some people seem to think maybe this was God's way. Maybe this was the clue. Because the second Adam ate the fruit, he was free. But he also changed how life would consist. Because originally God had Adam and Eve and things were perfect. But without freedom, we don't have control to freely love Him. Without the freedom to love Him, to choose to love Him, we can't love Him. Amen? But now it's changed. God said, now I am not the master of your universe anymore. You are the master. You can choose life. You can choose death. You can choose sin. You can choose to worship me. You can choose to follow me. You can choose to not follow me. But everything that you do in your life now is going to be because of you. Amen? Whatever choices you make in your life now is going to be because of you. Amen? Not me. I'm not your master. He said, I didn't make you to control you. That would make me just ruler. And I want to be a ruler. I'm your brother. I'm your father. Amen? When you have children, you don't rule over them. Amen? You don't say, stay in this room forever. If you never leave the bedroom, you'll be safe. You'll never get hit by a car. No. You let them go out. Amen? You let them eat. You let them go out and play with their friends. You give them bicycles. Amen? You give them freedom, amen? And with that freedom and with that love, they return to you what? Love and respect, amen? Just like Adam and Eve, now they were on their own. They had to make choices. They had to take care of themselves, amen? They had to till the ground. He said, you're going to have to work. He said, childbearing was going to be painful, amen? You're going to do all these things. The first second he took a bite of the apple was the first second that man needed what? We needed redemption. We started on the path back to the Garden of Eden. The second he took a bite of that apple and they left and they were put out, it was the second that we started as man to know that we needed God in our lives. Amen? It started a trail of redemption that's going to end someday when Jesus comes back. Amen? That's how Adam and Eve, that's why they got cast out. That's how it started. And he said to go and multiply. So some people seem, and the things that I read, some people seem to think that it was God's plan. Amen? To set them free. To give them the temptation, because he knew that man could not face the temptation without walking out the door. Amen? He had the most beautiful tree with fruit. They could do everything else that they wanted, and they couldn't understand. I can't eat that. Why? And the devil got to Eve and said, eat it. You won't die. Amen? He had this plan. And the plan was to bring people back to him. To make people truly, first of all, free. Are you with me? To regain what was lost. Man was told, here you can have all you need to live. Then you have no need for God. You can't love me because you don't need me. Outside those doors you have to make a way. Outside those doors you are free to feel and express. Sin is outside that door and it is strong. God created us in His image for Him to love us and us to love and worship Him. As long as we were under the protection of not knowing, we were simply under His control. Adam and Eve did not die on that day. They did not die on that day they ate the fruit, did they? When David went out that door and felt the breeze and came back second, he did not die, did he? He realized from that moment on that things, what he was going to need God's help. Amen. Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they didn't need anything. Are you with me? They didn't need God's help. Now they need it. So man needs it now. Hallelujah. Man has faced sin, and man is going to walk in sin, and sin is strong. Sin controls it. Whatever you call sin, whatever the things you do, they think pull you away from God, that's a sin. We don't judge one another. The world's got to stop judging people for what they're doing, because it's between them and God. But we got to see when somebody does something, and their heart is hardened, and they don't think that they're doing anything against God or people, that's when they're in trouble. Amen? And that's when I pray that their heart gets softened, and see that they do need God in their lives, and God will turn around whatever they're doing, or he'll judge whatever they're doing. We don't do that. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please, if you pledge anything to God today, judge not lest you be judged. Hallelujah. He created us in his own image. They did not die. They began the long journey back to God. Now they, like us, have to choose. They have to choose. You have to choose. Every day you wake up, you have to choose. Am I going to follow God? Am I going to draw closer to God? Or am I just going to say today, I don't need God today? Or God doesn't exist today? Or it's your choice. And listen, what man allows is not the same thing as what God allows. Can I get an amen? The things of the Bible tell you stories about men. The Bible tells you the history of the kings and the princes and the queens. Amen? It tells you stories about men. If men had more than one wife, it's because man allowed it. Amen? If men sinned and did things that were awful, and if they had slaves and they mistreated them, it's because man allowed it. Amen? Not because God allowed it. People get that confused. Say, well, there's slavery in the Bible. Yeah, sure is. There's a lot of bad stuff in the Bible to show us the bad things that men has done. Amen? To get redemption from. There's a lot of evil. There's murder in the Bible. Did God say it's okay to murder? Of course not. But man murdered. Amen? Since Adam and Eve took that bite and they went out in the world, sin existed in the world now. In their blood, in their thoughts, in their mind. They had to face it all. Are you with me? Man's laws never change. Man's laws always change. Always. How many thousands of years ago did God give these to Moses? Now, he knew that we couldn't keep them. That's why he gave us Jesus. Amen? That's why we have the Holy Spirit. We have the redemption with the blood of Jesus. He died on the cross to cleanse us from these. He protects us from these. But if you read all 10 of these, you tell me where one of these have changed in the thousands of years that it has. Not one. Amen? Honor your mother, your father. Do not commit adultery. Don't covet. Don't murder. Amen? Those have never changed. One time. How many of man's laws have changed since the beginning of time? Have they changed? Amen? From the kings changing things. From all the history of man, man has made laws and men have left laws to make new laws. Amen? We just heard the other day, and this is where confusion comes in. Try to remove that. We heard the other day that there's a saint who people loved, people adore. They love him. There's his medal in hundreds of thousands of cars. People wear his medal around the neck. We just heard the other day that the church says he's no longer a saint. Man made him a saint in that sense. Whether he's how you want to believe, it's you and God, amen? If it makes your heart feel good and draws you closer to God, I don't care who you believe is a saint. As long as it brings you closer to God. But we were told that Saint Christopher is no longer a saint. The church has decided. How do you tell hundreds of thousands of people who have the medal in their neck and in their car, how do you explain to them that he's no longer a saint? You understand the confusion? Man's laws add confusion. God's laws never change.
They said they can't find where
he ever existed. According to what we heard, and according to the persons that we're talking to, said that they can't find where Saint Christopher ever existed. That's what I say. God, the things of the Bible, the sins of the Bible, the men, the kings having many wives, taking many wives. God didn't allow that, amen? He made Adam and Eve, husband and wife, amen? He says a man should leave his mother and join his wife, and they should be one, amen? They should be one. All the divorces you hear, God, Jesus told Moses about divorce. When the disciples asked, he said, well, because you guys were complaining to Moses over and over again, he allowed divorce. He said, but Jesus said, but that's not the way God intended it to be, amen? He didn't intend for us to get married and get divorced, amen? Because he knew the pains that would cause. He knew the suffering that could cause sometimes. With children, you with me? He knows all the things that will happen when we fall short of his word. But he still loves us, amen? Jesus said, I judge no one. Jesus said, I come here not to judge you. Your life will judge you. How you treat others will be a judge. How you talk to others will be a judge. How you love one another will be a judge. How you treat people, that'll be your judge. Whether you love me or not, he said, whether you love me or you don't love me, that will be your judge. Jesus said, if you don't know me, I won't know you. If you don't want me, I'll walk away and I'll leave you to your own. Amen? You're free. Ever since Adam and Eve, you became free to choose. Amen? The greatest gift that God gave us, because he's God and he loves us, he gave us freedom to choose. Amen? Whether we want to accept him or not. That will be our judge on the day that we meet him face to face. We all believe that we're going to meet Jesus face to face. Amen? The Bible says so. That will be the judge. He will see you. He won't ask you where you went to worship. He won't ask you what you did. He'll just say, did you love my son? Did you love me? How did you? That's what he wants to know. Amen? Our redemption is in Jesus. Amen? And how you live your life and how you treat people will be a sign of that you accepted that redemption. Your heart full of love, full of joy. Amen? Doesn't mean that we don't get angry once in a while and say words we wish we didn't. Doesn't mean that we don't fight amongst each other. It doesn't mean that our lives will be perfect. Amen? It means that we will grow each day with the Lord. Hallelujah. Man is free. Free. Now you got years. Can I go a little longer? Is that okay? Thank you. You got hundreds and thousands, you got 1,000 years. You got Adam and Eve. They had children. Hallelujah. Cain. You know, Cain was the firstborn. Abel was the secondborn. They had many other children. They had women. They had daughters. They had sons. How many know that, remember that Cain murdered his brother Abel? God said there's a curse on his life, a curse on everything that he touches, a curse on the ground that he walks on, a curse on the crops that he... God put a curse on Cain because he murdered his brother. The blood of Abel shall be on you, he said. Amen? And they went many years. Noah, we're going to get to Noah. Adam lived 950 years. Does anybody think that's impossible? I kind of think that's kind of crazy when you think about it in the natural. Adam lived over 900 years. The sons lived hundreds of years. Noah was 500 years old when the flood came. Amen? Does anybody think that's impossible? There's explanations, or Christian explanations. I think if somebody really wants to know, let me tell you. Back in that time, there was zero disease. Amen? Adam and Eve just left the Garden of Eden. They just left paradise. Hallelujah. Their blood was perfect. The land was perfect. The water was perfect. The air was perfect. There was no reason why the body should grow old the way our body does now, these thousands of years later, with everything that we've done in our world, amen, and our lives in the world. They didn't have the same stresses we did. They didn't have a car to take care of. They had a different world, amen. They lived a long time, first of all, because God told them to live long and multiply. They had to start the world. They had to multiply. The children had to multiply with one another. Sisters were with uncles and brothers were with nieces because there was only one way to do it. And people say, well, that doesn't sound right because of the genetics. But back then, there were perfect genetics. Understand that. There were perfect genetics back then. Adam and Eve were perfect. Their children were so close to being at the garden, so close to God, that they're perfect. The nieces and the nephews, as Cain began to have children, and they had children, and Adam and Eve had many more children. The Bible only speaks of another one, Seth, the third son. But they had other sons. The Bible says they had other daughters. They were told to multiply. Amen? And they did. And these children got married. And they begot other children. So, yes, in another sense, they were distant cousins and uncles, like I said, with their nieces and nephews. Hallelujah. With their aunts. But that was the natural. That was the only way that God could get the earth to be started, to be populated. Amen? And with that, started our world. That's how it began. And it started to progress. But you got to now listen. Now, Cain, what did I say about Cain? Cain, he said that you were going to be cursed. So starts disobedience. Amen? Just an anger and a frustration. He was probably mad at God. He probably felt thrown out. You know how somebody feels like that? If you have a child who does the unthinkable at home, you have other children, and you have a child who does the unthinkable, and you try to love him, and you give him all the love you can, yet he comes back. And when he comes back, he's sorry, and you accept him. And then he does it again. And you take him back because he's sorry. But after a while, he's not sorry anymore. Amen? He or she isn't sorry anymore. And they don't have any love for you, any reverence for you, any respect for you. And they come home, and they destroy the family. Amen? They can destroy your entire family. You have one choice. Amen? You have to put them away. Amen. You have to say you need to stay away for the sake of the family. Amen. If you ever get to that, and anybody like that, you would know that that's where Cain was. God knew that Cain in his heart was a murderer and that he wasn't repenting. He said, "Who am I, my brother's keeper?" If he had said, "Lord, I sinned against you, forgive me," God would have forgiven him like that. Amen. But his words to God were, "Who am I, my brother's keeper?" God knew right then that he had a son that was rebellious. Amen? And I'm going to leave it right there. I want you to come back next Sunday. This is what I'm talking about. I started to do a study on Noah today because the movie just came out and I wanted you to understand why Noah had to do what he did, what built up to that. And in order for me to get you there, I had to start from Adam and Eve to get you to Noah, to know that what he was facing, where those people came from, who those people were, amen, and why he had to do and why God called on him to do it. Give him praise and glory this morning. Come back next Sunday and hear the rest. You may wonder sometimes why we would go back to Adam and Eve, something so simple. But sometimes when your mind gets full of more understanding, when you start to see with your eyes the story actually coming together, you actually learn that you understand about him, that he is real, that God is real, that God has always been real, that his way is the best way, that you will start to realize how much you need him in your life. You realize that you're no different than those in the Bible, that you fall short like they fell short, but you have Jesus. They didn't have Jesus yet. Hallelujah. You start to read about Adam and Eve thinking, this is kind of in the beginning, yes, but then you realize how it happened, how it began, how the world began, how the populations began. You start to realize that the choices in the Bible that some of the men made were the wrong choices. They weren't God's choices, they were man's choices. God never intended for Abraham to lay with his maidservant, Sarah. He never intended for that. His wife was Sarah, I'm sorry, Hagar. Sarah, his wife, told him to do that. It was accepted in that time, but it wasn't accepted by God. The angel told Sarah that she would be carrying a special child. Yet they went ahead of God and did what they did. Hallelujah. People look at the word of God and they see the word slavery and concubine and a lot of those words thinking, how can that be? Because the Bible is real. It's a true story. It's not a made-up story. All that wouldn't be in there. It's a true story of life and where people needed God in their lives, and the mistakes that they made, the laws that they made were not God's laws. Thank God we have Jesus. We have Jesus. We have the new covenant, the new promise. We can walk with Him. We can call on Him because of what He did for us on that cross. And we simply ask in this church that we do this in remembrance of Him. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name this morning. Solomon, in all his glory and all his riches, God gave him all the wisdom to understand life. He gave them riches. He gave him money. He gave him power. Yet he still chose to take other wives of other beliefs. He chose that. It wasn't accepted. It wasn't God's will. He chose to do that. And he paid the price. God's laws never change and His promises never fail. They are yes and amen. There's Bible knowledge. When somebody asks you a question about something like that, that you have a gentle, honest answer for them. Always remember that there are people who won't accept your answer. There's people going to ask you about Adam and Eve and ask you about Noah that really don't want to know the answer. They want to make fun of you. They want to mock you. So they won't hear the answer whether you give it to them. But there's people who hunger and want to know and want to hear an answer that makes sense to them so they can draw closer to that book. Praise God for the answers on those pages.